From WHYY in Philadelphia, I'm Terry Gross with Fresh Air. On today's Fresh Air, a rock song by The Doors played as a polka and other great concert performances from our archives. We'll hear Dr. John pay tribute to one of his favorite songwriters. We'll feature Jay McShann, the pianist and band leader who gave Charlie Parker his recording debut. Alan Toussaint will sing the song he wrote for Lee Dorsey in 1961. Loudon Wainwright will sing about divorce, and we'll hear much, much more. That's coming up on our special Concerts from the Archives edition of Fresh Air.
From National Public Radio News in Washington, I'm Corey Flintoff. Haitian Prime Minister Robert Malval said today that he urged President Clinton in a private conversation to hold off on widening economic sanctions against Haiti's military rulers. NPR's David Wilner reports from Port-au-Prince.
Prime Minister Malval spoke by telephone earlier today with President Clinton just one day before the deadline for deposed Haitian President Jean-Bertrand Aristide to be reinstated. Yesterday, Aristide called for a total embargo on Haiti to force the military to let him return, but his prime minister was not so categorical when President Clinton asked him today about further sanctions.
I told him that he should keep the principle of tightening the sanctions as a bargaining chip. Against the people who think they can make a new coup against the process.
But not to use that bargaining chip yet?
Not as today. I think we are involved in a huge poker game.
Haitian Prime Minister Robert Malval. I'm David Walna in Port-au-Prince.
President Clinton has sent Special Envoy Robert Oakley back to Somalia and Ethiopia. State Department officials said that Oakley will look for ways to shore up the ceasefire in Mogadishu, which appears to be breaking down after a two-day lull. Oakley will also discuss relief efforts in the investigation into the deaths of UN peacekeepers. Oakley's last trip to Somalia was to launch the Clinton administration's new policy, which focuses on diplomacy rather than military operations. The Pentagon will take a comprehensive look at the country's nuclear strategy. Secretary of Defense Les Aspin says this is the first time military planners will review from top to bottom how nuclear weapons fit into America's plans. NPR's John Greenberg has more.
Secretary Aspin says all aspects of nuclear strategy are on the table. That includes the type and number of nuclear weapons, where they are targeted, which ones will be on permanent alert, and how American nuclear forces might influence other countries. At a news conference today, Aspin said the end of the Cold War has left a new nuclear threat made up of a few weapons in the hands of many countries. He said the old strategic calculations may no longer work.
The traditional doctrine of nuclear deterrence presumes the other side is rational and that we can identify the responsible parties. In the future, we may face rogue states or terrorist groups with nuclear weapons, so we can't count on either of those assumptions.
The secretary said the review should be finished by late spring. This is John Greenberg in Washington.
Stock prices came to a mixed close today on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average retreated from yesterday's record level with a drop of 7 points to close at 3,681. This is NPR News. European community leaders agreed today to set up safe routes to get relief into Bosnia this winter and implied that those routes could be defended by military force. The expression used in an EC statement was that all appropriate means would be used to see that aid is delivered. A new government report says that more than 200,000 people in the United States have died of AIDS since 1981. For the first time, AIDS has also become the most common cause of death in men between the ages of 25 and 44. NPR's Chitra Raghavan reports.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says that because of a new expanded definition of AIDS, about 49,000 cases have been added to the federal AIDS count. That brings the total number of AIDS cases to about 340,000 since the epidemic began. Of those, 200,000, or 60%, have died. The CDC says death certificates show that last year, one in every five deaths of young men aged 25 to 44 was due to AIDS. In women, one in every 14 deaths was because of AIDS. AIDS became the most common cause of death in young men and the fourth most common cause of death in young women in these age groups. Overall, about 1.5% of all the deaths in the United States were due to AIDS, showing that AIDS still affects a relatively small proportion of the population. I'm Chitra Raghavan in Washington.
Azerbaijan, Turkey, and Iran have called for an urgent meeting of the UN Security Council to discuss fighting in the disputed region of Nagorno-Karabakh. The region is part of the former Soviet Republic of Azerbaijan, but it's primarily inhabited by ethnic Armenians. Azerbaijan and its two neighboring countries claim that Armenians have violated a ceasefire and driven as many as 30,000 Azeris to take refuge in Iran. Thousands of people have been killed since the ethnic conflict broke out in 1988. I'm Corey Flintoff, NPR News.
Major funding for Fresh Air is provided by Borders, where the love of books and music sets the standard. Additional support comes from the listeners of WHYY in Philadelphia, where Fresh Air is produced. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Once a week, we go into our archives and bring out interviews we think you'll enjoy. Today, we've brought out some of our favorite Fresh Air concerts. Some of the performers you'll hear are pretty well known. Others aren't nearly as well known as they should be. We think each of them is great, which is why we asked them to perform in the first place. We're selecting one performance each from a variety of concerts. We've gone back to the first 3 years Fresh Air was a daily national show, 1987 to 1990. But our first performance dates back even further, to 1982, when Fresh Air was only heard in Philadelphia. This is perhaps the best song ever written about people who think they're hip. The lyric is by Dave Frischberg. The music is by Bob Durow, who we'll hear on piano and vocals. The song is called I'm Hip.
Yeah, baby, you want some sounds? I like them sounds. Well, I'm hip. I'm no square. I'm alert, I'm awake, I'm aware. I am always on the scene, making the rounds, digging the sounds. I read Playboy magazine, I'm so hip. Well, I'm big, I'm in step. When it was hip to be hip, I was hip. I don't blow, but I'm a fan. Look at me swing, ring-a-ding-ding, yeah. I even call my girlfriend, man, I'm so hip. Now every Saturday night, with my suit button tight and my suede on, I'm getting my kicks, digging those arty French flicks with my shades on. Woo, 'cause I'm too much, I'm a gas. I am anything but middle class. When I hang around the band, I'm popping my thumbs, digging the drums. Well, the squares don't seem to understand why I flip. They're not hip like I'm hip. Well, I'm a hip, I'm alive. I enjoy any joint where there's jive. I'm on top of every trend. Look at me go, vodeo-do. Bobby Dylan, he knows my friend. We're so hip, hanging out in Malibu. Well, I'm hip, but not weird. Like you notice, I don't wear a beard. Beards wear in, but now they're out. They had their day, now they're passé. Just ask me if you in doubt, 'cause I'm a hip. Now I'm deep, deep into Zen, meditation, and macrobiotics. And just as soon as I can, I intend to get into narcotics. I gotta try some of that stuff, 'cause I'm cool, cool as a cuke. I'm a cart, I'm a cat, I'm a kook. I get so much out of life. Really, I do Scooby-Doo-Boo. One more time, play Mac the Knife. Let her rip. I may flip, but I'm hip.
That was Bob Durow, recorded in 1982. That may be the best song about squares who think they're hip. Next, we have a hip band that loves to play square. The band is called Brave Combo. They're from Texas. They started off as a new wave band that spoofed polkas. Then they fell in love with polka music and started playing it straight. Now they play regional dance music from around America, but they still love to occasionally play as square as they can, the kind of rhythmless playing you might hear from a bad band at a wedding. Their Fresh Air concert was originally broadcast in 1990. We have a pretty diverse ethnic background represented in the band here. Can I just hear what the worst songs any of you have ever had to play for weddings have been, coming from your different backgrounds?
Well, sometimes we play those worst songs. Part of our live show is to, not so much to form value judgments, but to play certain kind of wimpy songs in a wimpy style. You know, we do that as a, just sort of to juxtapose that against playing something as tight as possible. But we do sort of wimpy arrangements now of The Look of Love or Tie a Yellow Ribbon or There's Got to Be a Morning After or Feelings. Any of these things.
Daddy's Little Girl.
Yeah. Well, I kind of like Daddy's Little
Girl. I like Daddy's
Little
Girl.
Yeah, sure, it's a nice song.
We like, I guess we kind of even like these songs.
That's what's amazing is once you start playing this stuff, you do break down all these things you attach to it, and you start to hear great things in songs that you would never have liked. For instance, I really like the song Sweet Pea now a lot. I even like Tommy Rowe's arrangement of Sweet Pea. It's a really tight thing. There was a time when I would have thought that was the dumbest, stupidest song ever written. Knock Three Times, I think, is a great song now. Even that arrangement, that performance, Tony Orlando, I don't know if I'd want to hang out with Tony Orlando, but I like that recording of that song now, and there was a time that I didn't.
Can you do a few bars of one of these songs for us?
Oh, sure. What? You want to hear a funny arrangement of Proud Mary, for instance?
Sure, but that's maybe too good of a song. I mean,
How we play it. Here we go. Let's do a little bit of that.
Everybody do the rock and roll.
We play this as we play this in rock and roll clubs as quietly as possible. Okay? Here we go.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Rock and roll!
Fabulous.
So it goes like that. It's a good icebreaker too. Once people see how miserable we can be, then they, you know, everybody sort of breaks the ice and we're having a good time.
What are you likely to go into after that?
Maybe we'll go into a Chemochem, for instance, which is an Armenian folk song that we really, really, really like.
Did anybody ever play as square as that in real life?
I did a lot of hotel gigs.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, we saved Bubba from his lounge gig.
Yeah,
that's what he was doing.
I got through college playing hotels. And honky-tonks.
Now, on one of your records, you do The Doors, People Are Strange as a polka.
Right.
You want to do that for us?
Sure. We can do it right now. This is actually a horror because it's a fast polka, and it's suitable for a circle dance if everybody grabs hands and starts going in a circle like as if you're at a bar mitzvah or something. Here we go.
Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven now when you're down. When you're strange, faces come out of the rain. When you're strange, no one remembers your name. When you're strange, when you're strange, when you're strange, people are strange. When you're a stranger, faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven. When you're unwanted, streets are uneven. Now when you're down, when you're strange, faces come out of the rain. When you're strange, no one remembers your name. When you're strange, when you're strange, when you're strange.
That's Brave Combo, recorded in our studio in 1990. We're featuring concerts from our archives today. Our next song shows the reflective side of a singer-songwriter who's also a musical satirist. Loudon Wainwright's first hit was the novelty song Dead Skunk in the Middle of the Road. In the past few years, he's written some incredible songs about family life. In his first Fresh Air concert back in 1987, he performed a song about divorce called Your Mother and I.
Your mother and I are living apart. I know that seems stupid, but we weren't very smart. You'll stay with her, I'll visit you. At Christmas, on weekends, in the summertime too. Your mother and I are not getting along. Somehow, somewhere, something went wrong. Everything changes, time takes its toll. Your folks fell in love, love's a very deep hole. Your mother and I will do all we can do to work this thing out and to take care of you. Families get broken, I know it's a shame. It's nobody's fault though, and you're not to blame. Your mother and I are both feeling bad, but things will get better, they won't stay this sad. And I hope when you grow up, one day you'll see your parents are people, and that's all we can be. Your mother and I.
Loudon Wainwright, recorded in 1987. That same year, the delightful rhythm guitarist Marty Gross came to our studio and paid tribute to one of his favorite jazz musicians, Fats Waller. In case you're wondering, Marty Gross is not related to me, but he is the son of the late German cartoonist George Gross. Here's Marty Gross playing I'm Crazy About My Baby.
My brother, I'm walking on air, 'cause I've left all my blue days behind. I've learned how to care, 'cause there's love, really love, on my mind. I'm the world's most happy creature, tell me what can worry be. I'm crazy about my baby, my baby's crazy about me. Cupid was the teacher, he and I agree. I'm crazy about my baby's crazy about me. Parson, get that book out, ready in your hand. Keep a lookout, you can understand. We're an A1 combination, a perfect he and she. I'm crazy about my baby, my baby's crazy about me. Da di da 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 di do 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 do. My baby's crazy about me. My baby's crazy about me. Oh, ding dong, ding dong. Tingling, tingling, tingling. Bring long, ding dong. Wedding bells for baby and me. Daddy, daddy, daddy. Gilbert Sullivan. I was so serious when I polish up the handles on the big brass door. My baby's crazy about me. Thank you.
I'm the world's most happy creature. What can worry be? I'm crazy about my baby. My baby's crazy about me. Cupid was the teacher. He and I agree. I'm crazy about my baby. My baby's crazy about me. Oh, Parson, get that book out. Steady in your hand. Keep a lookout, you can understand. We're an A1 combination of perfect he and she. I'm crazy about my baby. My baby's crazy about me. My baby's crazy about me.
Marty Gross, recorded in our studio in 1987. We're featuring excerpts of Fresh Air concerts on this archive edition of our show. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air. Some of the most exciting American performers and writers will never become household names or make it to the cover of People magazine. We think of it as part of our mission on Fresh Air to act as talent scouts and find the people whose work we think you'll enjoy. Public radio is an oasis for people who want more than top 40 culture. Think about all the writers, musicians, and filmmakers whose work you've been introduced to by listening to this station. Isn't that something you'd like to see continue? You can make sure it does by calling with a pledge. Thank you very much. I'm always grateful when a singer takes a song I already know but don't feel strongly about and interprets it so well that I fall in love with the song. That's what happened when Susanna McCorkle performed her first Fresh Air concert in 1987. She sang a very well-known song, originally written for The Wizard of Oz, and found things in the song I never suspected were there.
An empty kettle, she should be on her mettle, and yet I'm torn apart. Just because I'm presuming that I could be kinda human if I only had a heart. I'd be tender, I'd be gentle, an awful sentimental regarding love and art. I'd be friends with the sparrows and the boy that shoots the arrows if I only had a heart. Picture me, a balcony above, a voice sings low, wherefore art thou, Romeo? I hear a beat. How sweet, just to register emotion, jealousy, devotion, and really feel the part. I would stay young and chipper, and I'd lock it with a zipper if I only had a heart. If I only had a heart.
Susanna McCorkle, recorded in 1987, with Ben Aronoff at the piano and Chip Jackson on bass. The versatile pianist Kenny Barron has performed in many settings. In 1982, he co-founded the band Sphere, named after Thelonious Sphere Monk. The band played a lot of Monk's music. When Barron joined us in 1989, he played Monk's composition Trinkle Tinkle. ¶¶ Kenny Barron, recorded in 1989. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air. More music from our archives in the second part of our show.
This is NPR, National Public Radio.
From Philadelphia, I'm Terry Gross with Fresh Air. Coming up, more music from our archives. We'll feature highlights from studio concerts by Jay McShann, Doc Watson, Dr. John, and Alan Toussaint. That's coming up on our archive edition of Fresh Air.
From National Public Radio News in Washington, I'm Ann Taylor. The U.S. Supreme Court has blocked a California judge's order that banned discrimination against homosexuals in the military. The Pentagon is now free to begin a policy that bans gays but discourages efforts to find out a person's sexual orientation. NPR's John Greenberg reports.
A California district court judge ruled in September that the ban against gays in the military is unconstitutional. He ordered the government to lift the ban. Government lawyers are appealing that decision but won't get a hearing until December. In the meantime, they want to continue the current policy that discriminates against gays. Earlier this week, they went to the Supreme Court for emergency relief, arguing that the judge's order was overly broad. Today, the Supreme Court granted the government's request. For the past month, the military has operated without the ban. Gay rights activists say this caused no adverse effects and call the Supreme Court's decision an ideological move by a conservative court. The justices made no decision on the ban itself. An appeals court in California will hear that argued in December. This is John Greenberg in Washington.
In ceremonies today in Boston at the John F. Kennedy Library, President Clinton argued for approval of the North American Free Trade Agreement. Mr. Clinton said it's the nation's duty to reach out, not inward. And he said even more now that in President Kennedy's day, the line between foreign and domestic interest is disappearing. The president argued that NAFTA means more prosperity, not a loss of jobs that critics argue will happen. Mexican President Carlos Salinas has warned that the North American Free Trade Agreement, or NAFTA, should not be reopened for revision, or the entire agreement could unravel. NPR's Richard Gonzalez reports.
In an interview with David Frost, which will be broadcast tonight on PBS, Salinas urged the U.S. Congress to approve the free trade agreement, adding, "If you open one single line of the 2,000-page text, you open everything else for negotiation." His warning stands in sharp contrast to the remarks of the Prime Minister-elect of Canada, Jean Chrétien, who has said he will press for changes in NAFTA before he will implement it. The two leaders have yet to meet to discuss their apparent differences. Salinas also challenged the arguments made by Ross Perot, saying that NAFTA will not be a job drain for the United States and that the trade agreement will help all three countries in the face of Japanese and European competition. Salinas repeated his claim that NAFTA will encourage Mexicans to stay home and not become illegal residents of the United States. I'm Richard Gonzalez in Washington.
In Portugal, public service workers staged a one-day strike against government plans for a pay freeze, along with layoffs. Areas hardest hit by the work stoppage were courts, schools, and social services. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrials moved down more than 7 points to close at 3,680.59. This is NPR News. In New York City, the UN Security Council has extended its mission to Somalia until the 18th of next month. It had been scheduled to run out Sunday. By extending the deadline, UN officials will have time to draw up new plans, moving the mission from military action toward diplomacy. UN Secretary General Boutros Boutros-Ghali, just back from a visit to Somalia, is to present a report to the Council on the role of the UN's 33,000 troops in the country. The goodwill created by the Israeli PLO peace accords continues to be felt at the UN. Today, in a sharp departure from the past, Arab countries decided not to challenge Israel's right to sit in the General Assembly. NPR's Trevor Rowe reports.
For the past 7 years, Arab countries have sought to force Israel's removal from the General Assembly hall, and each year their efforts were foiled only after a diplomatic skirmish involving the United States and its allies, who beat back Arab and Muslim opposition. But this year was different. The Assembly's Credentials Committee agreed to accept Israel without any procedural wrangling. The only objections came from Iran and Libya, who, while voicing oral protests, did not lodge a challenge or demand a vote. Among the Arab countries who decided to allow Israel to sit in the assembly were traditional rivals such as Iraq and Syria. This is Trevor Rowe in New York.
In Southern California, efforts are underway to control wildfires before the winds grow stronger again. Already, more than 143,000 acres have burned and hundreds of homes have been destroyed. Early estimates put damage at more than $330 million. The White House says that federal aid money will be low, because most of the damage is to homes covered by private insurance. White House spokesman said that no major business areas have been affected by the fires, so that private insurance will be a factor in terms of cost. This is National Public Radio News in Washington.
Support for Fresh Air comes from the listeners of WHYY in Philadelphia, where Fresh Air is produced. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. We're devoting our weekly archive edition of the show to concerts recorded in our studio. Each of the performers in this part of our show plays music firmly rooted in their region of America. Jay McShann is considered the last surviving master of the boogie-woogie and blues associated with Kansas City. He also holds an important place in jazz history as the leader of the band with which Charlie Parker made his recording debut in 1941. When McShann visited our studio in 1987, we were lucky enough to get him to sing as well as play.
And when I growl too old to dream, your love will be in my heart. So kiss me, oh kiss me my sweet, and now let us part. And when I growl too old to dream, well, your love will be in my heart.
So kiss me, oh, kiss me, my sweet. And now, oh, let us part. And when I grow too old to dream, your love will be in my heart. Well, your love will be in my heart. Well, your love will be in my heart.
Jay McShann, recorded in 1987. We move from Kansas City-style piano to the country-flavored guitar picking of Doc Watson. Watson was one of the stars of the 60s folk revival and is now one of the most revered performers in folk music. For many years, he performed with his guitar-playing son, Merle. After Merle was killed in a 1985 tractor accident, Doc Watson temporarily stopped performing. When he joined us in 1989, he brought with him the fine guitarist Jack Lawrence. They played a song by Mississippi John Hurt.
I think we'll do one that Merle and I, my son Merle and I, learned from John Hurt. A good old tune called Make Me Down a Pallet on Your Floor. Down a pallet on your floor, make me down a pallet on your floor. Honey, won't you make it down, make it soft and low, and then maybe my good gal, she won't know. I'm going up the country through that sleet and snow, going up the country through that sleet and snow. Yes, I'm going up the country through that sleet and snow. Ain't no telling just how far I'll go. Get my breakfast here and my dinner in Tennessee. Get breakfast here and dinner in Tennessee. Gonna get my breakfast here, my dinner in Tennessee. Told you I was coming, so you better look for me. Make me down a pallet on your floor. Make me down a pallet on your floor. Honey, won't you make it down, make it soft and low. Then maybe my good gal, she won't know. What do you think about it, Jack? Yeah, I like that notion right there. Well, you know that I can't lay down on your bed. Now, honey, I can't lay down on your bed. No, baby, can't lay down across that pretty bed. Cause my good woman, she might kill me dead. And don't you let my good gal catch you here. Hey, don't you let my good gal catch you here. If you do, she may shoot you. She might cut and stop you too. Ain't no telling what that gal might do. Make me down a pallet on your floor. Make me down a pallet on your floor. Honey, won't you make it down? Make it soft and low. Then maybe my good gal, she won't know. The way I've been sleeping, my back and shoulders tired. The way I've been sleeping, my back and shoulders tired. Yeah, the way I've been sleeping, my back and shoulders tired. I think I'll turn and try sleeping on my side. Make me down a pallet on your floor. Make me down a pallet on your floor. Honey, won't you make it down, make it soft and low. And then maybe my good gal, she won't know. Let's play some country counterpoint, son. Down a pallet on your floor. Make me down a pallet on your floor. Honey, make it over. Close behind that door. Make it where your good man will never go.
Doc Watson, recorded in 1989. We're featuring concerts from our archives on this edition of Fresh Air. Our last two performers are both products of New Orleans. Mac Rebenack is a pianist, singer, and songwriter. In the 1960s, he took on the stage name of Dr. John the Night Tripper, and he developed a psychedelic voodoo act. He eventually dropped the act, but the name stuck. His best-known songs include Right Place, Wrong Time, and Such a Night. When he came to our studio in 1988, he played a song by one of his favorite songwriters, Hoagie Carmichael.
I'd like to decompose a couple of Hoagie's tunes for you right now. Start with an old tune called Up the Lazy River. Up the lazy river and a million real stream. Lazy, lazy river where we can sit and dream. Linger in the shade of a kind old tree. Throw away your troubles and dream a dream with me. Up the lazy river by the old mill run. Lazy, lazy river in the noonday sun. Blue skies up above and everyone's in love. Up the lazy river with me. Oh, the lazy river. With me. Now up the lazy river, by the old mill stream, that lazy, lazy river where we could just sit and dream, linger in the shade of a pine oak tree. Throw away your troubles, boy, and dream a dream with me. Up the lazy river, by the old mill run. That lazy, lazy river in the noonday sun. Then blue skies up above and everyone's in love. Up the lazy river, how happy we could be. Up the lazy river with me.
Dr. John, recorded in 1988. Our final performer has known Dr. John for years and has even produced him. Alan Toussaint is one of the key behind-the-scenes figures of New Orleans rock and roll. As a producer, pianist, arranger, and songwriter, he worked on many of the classic sessions that came out of New Orleans in the 60s. He later wrote the La Belle hit, Lady Marmalade, and the Pointer Sisters hit, Yes We Can. When he came to our studio in 1988, he played several of his best-known songs from the early 60s. I know another song you wrote that was a big hit, I guess it was the early 60s, Working in a Coal Mine?
Yes.
Lee Dorsey recorded it?
The Lee Dorsey, yes.
Now, I remember when I interviewed you a few months back, you explained that you had never been in a coal mine when you wrote this song.
Not only never been, I don't know no one, know anyone who's ever been in a coal mine. And I don't know why that came. Lee Dorsey was a great inspiration for me. When it was time to write for him, I would just sit back and begin to listen to the sound of his voice. And I could always hear him singing lines to songs that I hadn't written yet in my mind. And one day, while sitting on St. Philip Street in New Orleans, I heard him saying, "Working in a coal mine, going down, down, down." I have no idea why. And it was like three times faster when it came to my mind. Then we end up recording it. But he was a great inspiration. His voice sounded like a smile to me. And I wrote lots of songs for him, just loads of them.
Which way do you play with Coal Mine, fast or slow?
Oh, I play it somewhere in, a little slower than maybe he did it, yes.
Would you do it for us?
We'll give it a go.
Working in the coal mine. About to slip down, working in the coal mine, going down, down, working in the coal mine, about to slip down. 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm already up and gone. Lord, I'm so tired. How long can this go on now? Working in the coal mine, going down, 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 working. working in the coal mine, about to slip down. Working in the coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in the coal mine, about to slip down. Of course I make a little money hauling coal by the ton, but when Saturday rolls around, I'm too tired for having fun. Too tired for fun now. Working in the coal mine, going down, down. Working in the coal mine, about to slip down. Working in the coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in the coal mine, about to slip down. Lord, I'm so tired. How long can this go on?
Alan Toussaint, recorded in 1988. I hope you've enjoyed this selection of studio performances from our archives. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air. Once a week on Fresh Air, we've been featuring material from our archives. It sure feels great to have been on the air long enough to have interesting material from the past to draw on. It's the support of our listeners that keeps us on the air. Remember, your station has to pay a fee to broadcast Fresh Air. Without your support, your station couldn't afford to bring you Fresh Air. There is a direct correlation between your support and your continued ability to hear the program. Every call counts. Thanks to everyone who's called with a pledge. This week, we've been featuring a series of pieces from our archives featuring our rock and roll historian, Ed Ward. To get in the spirit of Halloween, we've chosen a piece that will spook you with some gruesome hits and some ghoulish trends of rock music past.
Forever, my darling, my love will be true. Always and forever, I'll love just.
On Christmas Eve 1955, a young black singer who was one of the fastest rising stars in the rhythm and blues world died backstage at a show in Houston, Texas. His name was Johnny Ace, and his death, officially called a suicide, but unofficially rumors still fly, began one of the most bizarre eras of rock and roll history. Almost before his heart stopped beating, his song Pledging My Love shot to the top of the charts, and a cult formed around his memory. 9 months later, actor James Dean died, and another death cult sprung up. For some time, teenagers had been slurping up comic books like Tales from the Crypt, in which slicing and dicing people was pretty commonplace. But in 1955, with all of this death around, the comics were banned for fear of their effect on impressionable kids. So the kids turned to the only outlet they had left, rock and roll.
Tooling down the highway doing 79. I'm a twin pipe popper and I'm feeling fine. Hey man, dig that. Was that a red stop sign? Transfusion, transfusion. I'm just a solid mess of contusions. Never, never, never gonna speed again. Slip the blood to me, bud.
Nervous Norvus was a truck driver in his 40s when he recorded Transfusion in Nashville in 1956, but he found himself in the rarefied company of the best teenage idols when he found his record banned by every radio station in the country, making it the hottest under-the-counter hit in some time. Transfusion was funny, but in 1958, a different kind of record started to appear.
The night was black, rain falling down. Look for my baby. She's nowhere around. Traced her footsteps down to the shore. Afraid she's gone forevermore. I looked at the sea and it seemed the same. I took your baby from you away. I heard a voice crying in the deep. Come join me, baby, in my endless sleep.
Jody Reynolds' girlfriend hasn't, as it turns out, committed herself to the endless sleep, and he saves her. But the song is manipulative, gruesome, and filled with the sort of overamped emotion teenagers love. It went straight into the top 10. The censors moved a little faster, though, when John Zacherle, who had a late-night horror movie show on Philadelphia TV, came up with Dinner with Drac, a humorous recitation in which the notorious Count served up questionable spaghetti and various other ghoulish delights. The record got played, but not until Zacherle had recorded a considerably toned-down version. No, child psychologists were much more worried about the records that actually told credible stories, like Thomas Wayne's 1959 hit, Tragedy, or this 1960 classic.
Teen angel, teen angel. That fateful night, the car was stalled upon the railroad track. I pulled you out and we were safe, but you went running back. Teen angel, can you hear me? Teen angel, can you see me? Are you somewhere up above? And am I still your own true love?
The vision of a girl ready to die for the singer's high school ring, which is why she went back to the car, may seem camp today, but such finely honed irony wasn't a part of the teen mindset back then, and Teen Angel's devotion was such a desirable virtue that the record shot to number one. It took a while for the professional songwriters in New York's Brill Building to discover the masochistic dream of finding the perfect love, only to have it die. The records we've just heard were all made in Nashville. But when they figured it out, they really got it right.
One day my dad said, find someone new.
Small, and kissed me goodbye. The tears were beginning to show. As he drove away on that rainy night, I begged him to go slow. Whether he heard, I'll never know.
Look out, look out, look out, look out!
Leader of the Pack was another one that was too strong to stop. As further proof that teenagers understood what was happening, even though nobody else did, while various organizations tried to get the record banned, kids flocked to another record, Leader of the Laundromat by the Detergents. They could pine for death or laugh at it, either way. And, in fact, this gruesome genre of rock and roll went out with one of the most tastelessly funny records of all. Jimmy Cross describes driving back from a Beatles concert with his baby, only to have a head-on collision in the rain with the Leader of the Pack.
It's been many months now since that fateful night, and you know something I've tried. Believe me, I have tried, but I just can't make it without my baby. So I've decided I'm gonna have her back one way or another. Oh, baby, I dig you so much. Hot dang pay dirt.
I'll leave you to guess what happens next. Happy Halloween.
Ed Ward is co-author of Rock of Ages, The Rolling Stone History of Rock and Roll. He's currently living and working in Germany. I'm Terry Gross.
This is NPR, National Public Radio.
Beam me up, Scotty. On the next Fresh Air, the transporter trick and other stories about shooting the original Star Trek TV series. We'll talk with William Shatner, otherwise known as Captain Kirk. I'm Terry Gross. I hope you'll join us for the next Fresh Air.